And now a closer look at telemedicine, seeing a doctor by video conference. You may already know it's becoming more common. In fact, the American Hospital Association reports that 75%, of U.S. hospitals are connecting patients and health practitioners remotely using video and other technologies. The growth of telemedicine could be a solution to healthcare problems like long wait times, lack of access in rural areas, and workforce shortages. But there are still questions about whether telemedicine will be able to deliver. Jason Moon of New Hampshire Public Radio reports.
If you know which hallway to walk down at Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center, one of New Hampshire's largest hospitals, you can enter into a space that's kind of bizarre. It's a hospital within the hospital. Dartmouth Hitchcock calls it the Telehealth Center. Inside, it has its own emergency department, psychiatry unit, pharmacy, all of them delivering that care to people miles away. In one corner, Mark Franklin, a critical care doctor, stands at a desk with 8 screens.
Right now on here, there's about 40 patients that I'm monitoring right now.
Franklin says he gets all the same info from these screens that he would if he were there at those hospitals in person. Patients' medical histories, their vital signs in real time. And he can also use cameras and microphones to speak with the patients and doctors on site.
Just before I was talking to you, they had asked me to camera in and talk to family about how the patient's doing. So it's a two-way communication system that we have.
Franklin also works with patients in person at Dartmouth Hitchcock's ICU. He says learning how to do the same work remotely took some getting used to, but he says ultimately he makes the same decisions and delivers the same care. Now, telemedicine is becoming a bigger and bigger part of what major hospitals, including Dartmouth Hitchcock, do these days. When it launched the Telemedicine Center in 2012, the concept was still something of a novelty. That first year, Dartmouth Hitchcock did less than 100 video encounters with patients. By last year, the hospital was doing more than 4,500.
It is a very significant part of our overall rural health strategy.
Dr. Kevin Curtis oversees telemedicine at Dartmouth Hitchcock. He says Dartmouth Hitchcock is responsible for a huge swath of both New Hampshire and Vermont, hundreds of thousands of lives.
Most of those lives live rurally, and many of them are at a distance.
Rural clinics have a hard time hiring positions like stroke specialists. Now they can pay Dartmouth Hitchcock to provide one via video call on demand if a stroke patient comes through the door. And it's not only big hospitals that are moving in this direction.
Katie, can you open your mouth, stick out your tongue, and say, ah? And you can see we got a really nice view of the back of her throat.
Dr. Kristen Johnson is a pediatrician in Exeter, New Hampshire. She's launching what she believes is the state's first ever telemedicine program for school children. Starting next school year, students who come into the school nurse's office at Newfields Elementary can receive examinations from Johnson remotely. Using a tablet computer with special attachments, the school nurse can look in kids' ears, measure their heart rates, and take their blood pressure. The images and audio are live streamed to Johnson, who can diagnose things like ear infections and prescribe for them without ever leaving her office.
I'm really excited about this. I think that this has the opportunity to really expand across multiple schools and become a much bigger part of what we do.
But as telemedicine grows, some warn we should be paying attention to how it's used.
If it was something like stroke or a patient with serious mental illness, I'm on a chair applauding.
Dr. Ativ Marotra researches telemedicine at Harvard Medical School.
However, if we said more people with bronchitis are getting visits, then I'm not so sure that's a good thing.
Marotra's research has shown that the biggest growth in telemedicine is happening in direct-to-consumer telemedicine. Think FaceTiming your doctor from home. And what's more, he says, is that most of these new televisits are new patients. In other words, they aren't replacing in-person doctor's appointments, they're adding to them. And that undercuts the idea that telemedicine will be able to fix the country's shortage of healthcare workers.
Telemedicine allows people in urban areas to go take care of rural patients, but it doesn't address the issue that there just isn't enough time of the doctors.
Then there's the question of whether these changes are good for patients. Some studies have shown that connecting specialists between different hospitals can lead to health outcomes that are just as good or even better than if they were there in person. But other studies of direct-to-consumer telemedicine have suggested it can lead to over-testing of patients and over-prescribing of medications. As telemedicine continues to expand, patients and providers will have to decide when this technology makes people healthier and when it's just convenient. For Here and Now, I'm Jason Moon.